My name is Jacob Downey, and I'm with Little Raleigh Radio. This evening's election might be the first time in living memory that the Governor's Office of North Carolina and the General Assembly are controlled by the Republican Party. In order to gain context and perspective on this potential paradigm shift, I visited two local think tanks, the John Locke Foundation and North Carolina Policy Watch. Providing some insight from the John Locke Foundation is Rick Henderson. He is the managing editor of their monthly publication, Carolina Journal. Mr. Henderson, can you briefly describe what the John Locke Foundation does?
John Locke Foundation is a state-based nonpartisan think tank, which goal is to advance ideas of limited government, free markets, and personal responsibility. It's to serve as a guide for policymakers, elected officials, and also educating the public about our founding principles and also about the way state government operates.
If this evening's election does see the General Assembly and the Governor's Office transition into Republican control, what should voters expect to happen?
Well, what's going to happen, for one thing, is that there's going to be a large turnover in executive branch agencies and in management positions of the different regulatory bodies that make a lot of state policy. That's going to be a huge change because you've had these agencies controlled largely by Democrats for 140 years, but certainly, except with the exception of the administrations of Jim Martin and Jim Holzhauser back in the 70s and 80s, it's all been under Democratic control. And you've had a period, basically 12 out of 140 years, in which it's been controlled by one party. So you're going to see a lot of turnover in these agencies. One of the challenges that that Governor McCrory would face would be finding qualified people to staff these agencies who are consistent with his political viewpoints. And so that's something to look forward to. In fact, I think probably what will happen is that because there have been several Republican governors elected in recent election cycles who have undergone some of the reforms that McCrory has said he would like to undertake, you may see going to places like Indiana and Wisconsin and Ohio and Louisiana to try to raid the staffs of these state governments to find people who have expertise in these areas that McCrory said he would like to do.
In this scenario, do you expect leadership to stay more with the General Assembly or in the governor's office?
There'll be some both going on there, but one thing about it is with Pat McCrory, he is probably more to the center than the center of the leadership of the Republican Party in the General Assembly. So McCrory actually will be more, I think, more of a centrist consensus builder type, while the General Assembly itself, especially its leadership and its core, if you will, is much more conservative. And so it'll be an interesting dynamic there because, as in the final gubernatorial debate, when asked if he would make any changes in abortion policy, he said no. Now, there are a lot of members of the Republican General Assembly who would like to make a series of changes in abortion policy. And so I don't know if there actually will be a conflict there because I think both the General Assembly and the governor-to-be agree that the economy is the main thing to work on and also other areas of tax and education reform. But still, there could be some conflicts on social issues, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
If conflicts arise, where do you think they will be, and what should the public be watching out for over the next term?
It's going to be, again, a dynamic between a governor who is sort of to the center and a General Assembly that may be a little bit further to the right. How Pat McCrory handles transportation policy is going to be very interesting because he certainly is, I think, a believer in sort of statewide comprehensive regional schemes, and individual lawmakers don't necessarily like that because they want to make sure that they get the goodies for their districts. So there are going to be some issues where they don't always see eye to eye. And those issues where there's a differential between sort of the broader interest of the state and the narrow interest of the legislative district are going to be where the public really ought to pay a lot of attention and see how that all plays out over time.
For another perspective, I spoke with Robert Schofield of NC Policy Watch. He is their director of research and policy development. How do you explain to people what NC Policy Watch does?
Well, like I say, we're a progressive public policy organization. We are a think tank. We are writing and researching. We actually have journalists on staff who are reporting on state policy developments. We've got sort of a lot of events, a very active blog, just general up-to-the-minute daily coverage of what's going on in state public policy and lots of opinion on it as well.
If this evening's election sees the Republicans maintain control of the General Assembly and take control of the governor's office, what should voters expect to change?
I think it's important to state at the outset that it's not the first time that we've had a conservative majority running North Carolina state government. I mean, there were many times when the Democrats have been in control through the decades in which we had very conservative powers that be running things. So I think it's important not to overstate what's happening here, but it is true that the modern day Republican Party is much, much more conservative and much more ideologically to the far right than they've been pretty much in recent memory. It will be the first time that this group of people will be running state government in North Carolina with really no dissenting voices. If they have large majorities in the General Assembly as well as the governor's mansion, there will be very few checks on the agenda that they have in mind. And what the agenda that they do have in mind is to dramatically change North Carolina. It is to radically remake our government, I would argue in a generally negative way, to empower corporations, to change our tax code. There's a long list of issues we could discuss, but I think the bottom line is that people should get ready for a dramatically different North Carolina, and frankly, from my perspective, a backwards-looking North Carolina that will be retreating on a lot of important subjects.
It seems like the dissenting voice that may need to come from the voters. What would voters look for in a healthy government, and what should they expect with this new term?
Well, I think from a healthy government, they want a government that's going to continue to expand opportunity in our society, to move us forward, to provide a robust, healthy, strong public education system, to clean up our environment, provide all the essential services, provide the infrastructure, transit, roads, highways, all the essential structures and systems that make a vibrant middle-class society possible. Those are really the central functions of our government. Unfortunately, I think the folks that are likely to take power, looks as if they will take power in the state, really don't share that vision. They look at government as if it is the enemy. It is something to be fought, to limited, controlled, rather than something that's necessary to make our economy work and our middle-class society expand. They feel that government should be essentially eliminated or dramatically downsized. And so they're proposing things like eliminating the North Carolina state income tax, which would make our tax system much more regressive, tilt it much more toward the bottom. Getting rid of the North Carolina corporate income tax, no more taxes paid by corporations, dramatically reducing regulation in a host of fields, new laws to make it harder for people to vote, the voter ID law, new attacks on immigrants, cuts to education, and indeed privatizing a lot of essential public services like education in both K through 12 and higher education that are, from our perspective, really central to having a healthy middle-class society. Their vision is to privatize those, sell them off to public, to private corporations and to nonprofits, and hope that the quote-unquote genius of the market will be able to deliver those services that people have sort of taken for granted all these decades. It's a radical shift in North Carolina society, and I think people should be prepared for that.
What are your thoughts on after the election?
Well, I just hope people will stay active and engaged. Don't, you know, regardless of what happens in the election this year, there will be plenty of opportunities, and it'll be critical for people to remain engaged, not to become despondent, not to become cynical, but to remain more active than ever in politics, to stay up to date, to pay attention to state politics, which is something that progressive people sometimes don't like to bother to do. It's more interesting to follow what's going on in Washington, but people need to pay attention to what's going on, both in local Raleigh politics and down on Jones Street where the legislature meets. Hope they'll continue to do that. I really think in the long run we're going to be okay. People need to stay active.
That was Robert Schofield from North Carolina Policy Watch. Would like to thank him and Rick Henderson from the John Locke Foundation for speaking with us this evening about what it might mean for the Republicans to control both the governor's office and the General Assembly. My name is Jacob Downey for Little Raleigh Radio, reporting on behalf of the Raleigh Public Record on WKNC 88.1.